Welcome back, everybody, to another edition of the Triple FL Podcast. I'm your host, Tony Ciccone. Thanks for joining us again here, where we run down the games from the previous week, talk about some crazy performances, both by teams and individuals. And we'll move ahead to this upcoming week, what we can expect from some of the primetime players, what fantasy plays you need to be making as you get your rosters together. And then got a little surprise today with some correspondence from one of the all-time greats of the NFL. But we will get to that later. First, let's talk about last week. My goodness. Just when you think you know something, you prove you really don't know much. I mean, let's just start first with the... It's been rehashed time and time again, but the Saints, Cleveland, my word, talk about having it wrong. Who would have thought the Saints go to Cleveland after a shootout with Atlanta the week before and drop that game? Who would have thought Cleveland, with Hoyer, all the quarterback controversy to start the season, would be able to come in and defend their home and get the victory over the Saints? My goodness. Patriots got the victory over, obviously, an Adrian Peterson-less Vikings, and that was pretty much what you'd expect with a team that's without their star running back, 30-7. Boy, the Giants, they just, I think they are who we think they are, a team that is just on the decline. We mentioned last week's podcast how it just might be time for Tom Coughlin. I know they call for it every year, but not sure if this year's team's going to get any better. And the Cardinals, they're looking like a respectable squad. You know, Carson Palmer, they've got a new coach there who's just working with him and just getting some things done. Redskins, Jaguars. Last week we talked about the RG3 situation and how maybe Kirk Cousins was the way to go. We, of course, never would have ever thought or wanted an injury to RG3, but that is exactly what happened. Dislocated ankle. And Kirk Cousins came in, delivered the victory 41-10, and he very well may be the answer at quarterback for the Redskins. Look, something we have to realize, the human body does not work on a game schedule or a season schedule or a sports schedule. It works on its own speed, different for every single person. So this whole notion that a player can be injured 1 year, rehab, and be ready the next year, that's not realistic across the board. Everybody's body is different. But second off, for a body to really get confident with itself and its parts, it takes more time. You're listening to a guy who's a believer that you take more time off. Now, Derrick Rose, oddly enough, people thought he stayed out too long in the NBA. And then look what happened when he did come back. He tore the other knee. And there's I have torn my ACL. There's all sorts of overcompensation that the body just naturally does with, subconsciously. You just put more weight on that other knee, that uninjured knee. And then as a result, that ends up getting, and it's a common thing. I'm not saying anything new. Any arthroscopic surgeon will tell you the same. But for this sport, I'm thinking take another year. Get your whole body right, especially these guys coming into league 21, 22, 23. If you take, especially the quarterback position, you take 2 years, you're 25, 26, 27. Hey, now you know the game. Your body is in prime condition. You've studied. Your arm is stronger. So I'm actually pulling for RG3 to just shut it down for this entire year. Just get his body completely right. And if he's not ready completely next year, I'd say don't come back. Wait till you are completely ready. We talked last week about how I bet they would never even, I mean, when he was healthy, have him line up to run a 40-yard dash, because I guarantee you, post his rehab, pre this new injury, he was not running what he was at the combine. So he's not the same player. Therefore, he's not making the same plays he did as his rookie of the year season. So, yeah, so 41-10 winners the Redskins were with Kirk Cousins at the helm. Dolphins, Bills. Ooh, I said if you had to pick someone, take the Bills at home. Sure enough, 29-10. Just those epic battles. Dolphins, everyone was thinking high, including myself, after the Patriots. Victory over the Patriots the previous week. But the Bills at home, they are a solid team. EJ Manuel at quarterback is wise beyond his years. I'm not foreseeing any sophomore slump with him. Another team that, everyone was writing them off were the Titans, who, had a victory over Kansas City the week before, then hosting the Cowboys, and they fell 26-10. Romo had that abysmal half last week against, or the first week against San Francisco. This week, he tuned up, got some things done, went to his guy, Dez Bryant. Fantastic. DeMarco Murray running like a machine. You know, it's almost like DeMarco Murray, if you had to take the two running backs and from back in the day, Tony Dorsett, Herschel Walker, he's almost in between them. He's smooth, but power, you know, bit seems a bit bigger like a Herschel Walker. He's kind of like an in-between. I'd love to get your feedback on what running back DeMarco Murray would compare him to from the past. But it was good. It's good to see the Cowboys competitive. I feel like it's the Yankees in baseball. In basketball, it's like the Lakers, Celtics. It's always good to see them competitive and in the mix. Boy, I don't want to talk about that Saints-Browns game. You know, it's what they say about the Saints playing, you know, outside. And I think they have natural turf there in Cleveland. I know it's an outdoor stadium. They're a different team. Yeah, this just in, Tony. They are a different team, and they're a losing team to the Cleveland Browns. And they're 0-2, so they've got their work cut out for them. So it'll be interesting to see how they rebound from that. Now, they fell victim in that first week to the Falcons, who last week fell victim to the Bengals. And look, at home, you know, our friends at ESPN, Colin Cowherd especially, brings up the point that last year, Bengals 8-0 against the spread even at home. They certainly covered the spread, winning by 14 over the Falcons. So, you know the Red Rocket, he's doing a great job at quarterback. A.J. Green went out with an injury, which was tough, but Sanu stepped up and made some big plays. So, you know, they're a complete team. You got Giovanni, he's a running back. He's solid. He's just a superstar there. So, yeah, good to see them win, and they're, you know, big things from them. They're a team that's been in the playoffs these past 2 years. So I think, as I mentioned last week, I'll say again, they're ready to take that next step. The defense is kicking. Panthers-Lions, boy, talk about fooled. After seeing the Lions showcase in week one, just to come up this lame 24-7, it seems as if everything I was thinking about Matthew Stafford, he, you know, reverted right back to the old ways. And, you know, Carolina does have a good defense, Luke Kuechly there in the middle. But to see the Lions struggle that way with all their weapons, that was surprising. You know, Panthers at home, 24-7 winners. Rams, Bucks fell to the Rams 19-17. Those two, I thought it would be that close. I even said it'd be that close, 2-3-point game, and it certainly was. Seahawks, Chargers, this is not so good. Look, the Chargers, I thought people were drinking a bit too much Kool-Aid talking about them, but they did deliver at home. You know, Seahawks didn't have too far to travel, just a bit south on the West Coast, but the Chargers are for real. You know, Antonio Gates is playing like he's turned back the clock because fingers crossed he keeps it up throughout the entire season, especially for you fantasy owners that do have Antonio Gates. I made a valiant attempt to pick him up. I was outbid. That's all I'll say. So he is on another roster in my league, but, you know, he is fantastic. And just those pieces. And now they did suffer an injury as well with their running back. So, yeah, it's going to be interesting how people step up to take the role of Matthews and what he's left behind. But you know, Philip Rivers, just David Rivers, old point guard for Notre Dame, for those who may remember, Philip Rivers for San Diego. He's just doing so many good things there. He reminds me of Marino. I know their mechanics aren't the same, but he just, the way he is now, like a gunslinger, just like Marino was towards those latter years. Well, throughout, please. What are we talking about here? But he's a guy that reminds me of them. And look, something I'll throw out there, I can't wait to get some feedback, is doesn't quarterback for Seattle, Wilson, doesn't he remind you of Charlie Ward? I always wonder what type of career Charlie Ward would have had in the NFL. And I think it's very much the same type of career that Wilson's having right now. The NFL wasn't ready for it. Coaches weren't ready for it. GMs weren't ready for it. They're ready for it now, given there's a Super Bowl ring on his hand. So interesting to see. David Carr with the Raiders, rookie quarterback, 0-2 now. Losers 30-14 to the Texans. You know, J.J. Watt, he's going to wreak havoc all year long, especially with a rookie quarterback. And he even got into the end zone catching a pass. So that was interesting to see. Packers-Jets, Packers get get the win, even the record at 1-1. The Jets fall after winning in week one, so they're down to 1-1. A bit of drama there if you had a chance to see the highlights about an assistant coach and then a player signaling in a timeout. It's a tough situation, but I look for the Jets to rally back, you know, especially given that the tough nature of that. And we'll talk about that as we look up to the upcoming week. I look to them to rebound because of that tough loss. Now, Broncos Chiefs knew they'd get the win at home, mile high, but Kansas City kept it close. Their defense stepped up, scored 17 points on the Broncos, so 24-17 losers were the Chiefs, 0-2 now. But they showed some life, as if they've got something in them. Broncos, they held serve. They took care of their business. Julian Thomas, the receiver slash tight end, man, a couple touchdowns, just fantastic performance by him. Manning, he just seems to just find these weapons and put them to their best usage. I mean, go down the list from anybody at the Colts, Reggie Wayne, Marvin Harrison, all of those guys. And now he's doing it with that Bronco lineup. Now, Bears Niners, comeback victory for the Bears. They win 28-20. Look, did watch the game, and Colin Kaepernick, he reminds me so much of Randall Cunningham. I know there are other comparisons with Cunningham with other quarterbacks, but Kaepernick, just the size, the length, he's so long, his long strides, his athleticism, his arm strength. And I'll throw this in there, a bit of the decision-making. They had the victory in hand, up two scores, and just let the Bears get back. Bears scored a touchdown just before the half, and from that point, he had all the momentum and just didn't let up with that, and did get the victory. So that was tough to watch. Cutler rebounded after a really bad performance in week one. It was interesting. I noted on these two teams the receiving core. So with the Bears, you have Alshon Jeffrey, you have Brandon Marshall. That's a great squad. With the Niners, Stevie Johnson, Anquan Boldin, Michael Crabtree. So there's some serious receivers on both of these teams. So that was definitely something fun to watch, being the former receiver that I am. Bears also have Santonio Holmes. Talk about a little blast from the past. Oh, was there anything better than that Super Bowl winning catch he had from Ben Roethlisberger with the Steelers? My goodness. Oh, I'll never forget that catch. But yeah, he's on the Bears roster as well. So they've got a solid receiving core. That's some real weapons at tight end. They have, you know, Rosario, another tight end. They've got some really great tools there. Obviously Forte in the backfield. So the Bears, if he can keep his head, if Cutler can keep his head and just eliminate some of the bad decisions, they're going to be in great shape. Now, geez, the Eagles, the cardiac kids of the NFL, Monday Night Football, came back from two scores down to beat the Colts 30-27. There you got the Colts. Andrew Luck sitting at 0-2, and the Eagles sitting at 2-0. It's, you know, it's just so crazy to watch. Darren Sproles, my goodness, isn't he something? He's a throwback to me of Dave Meggett, all of the Super Bowl winning Giants. Do you remember David Meggett? Yeah, he's so tough to stop. Reminds me of the Browns had another kick return. Eric Metcalf, that type of player. Sproles is a bit more solid, durable, reliable, backfield, catching the ball out, run the ball. Oh, he is the X factor for the Eagles. Remember they used to have Westbrook. He's, you know, that type of player for the Eagles. He was a special player for the Eagles now. So they got LeSean McCoy now. He's holding up. Hopefully the injury bug does not bite him. And with Darren Sproles, they are going to be tough to beat. Talk about a blast from the past. Ahmad Bradshaw, a couple touchdowns for the Colts. So truth be told, I did make an attempt to pick him up. I'll check a bit later tonight how things went with the waiver wires. But he was certainly showing up big and bringing up the old days. Not sure if Brandon Jacobs is still in the league. From that little duo of fire and ice, the thunder and lightning, as I like to call it. So, yeah, definitely a great week of football. If you're playing fantasy football, these first 2 weeks, you get a feel for the players that maybe are ones you could steal, that you can pick up. I'll give you a couple examples of some guys that I picked up after a week or two of the season and just helped me to a fantastic year. This first one I mentioned did get me to the Super Bowl, the championship. And that was Anquan Boldin. I'm going back like 10 years. We know how long he's in the league. It was his first or second year, and he was having a fantastic season with the Arizona Cardinals. Picked him up, went right into the starting lineup, my wide receivers, and the rest is history. Got a championship, unfortunately the only championship in about 12 years of this league. So, yeah, not enjoying that so much. Would like to get another title because I've got a bunch of talkers. A bunch of talkers in my league, which is fantastic. That is what makes it fun for everyone. Look, I want to go through a few of the primetime performances that were turned in last week. And then this is a time when we take a look at those, and we kind of relate it a bit to the players of the past. So coming from week two, obviously Cam Newton had a great week, and I'm not sure again. You know, we mentioned the Randall Cunningham, the big physical athletic quarterback. You know, he's really something. It's funny. I wonder how much Geno Smith coming up watched. Obviously not Cam Newton. He's so young still. But a Michael Vick, or who Geno Smith was looking to. Who, you know, I see a little bit of a Brady. I mean, if you're coming up as a quarterback, you've got to watch Brady. Your dad or your coach has to say, watch Tom Brady with the Patriots. See how he does things. So, yeah, definitely a good thing to see Geno Smith progressing and being so competitive. Hey, he threw the game-winning touchdown, and it was only because of some game operations on the side that it didn't happen. James Jones had another good week for Oakland. Now, he's getting some of his scores are coming in garbage time for Oakland, but let's not forget what he did with Green Bay the last couple years. He was a go-to guy. Now, Jordy Nelson. Listen, I'm about to throw one at you. Buckle up. Buckle up. Is he not Lance Allworth? Is he the closest thing that we've seen to Lance Allworth? The great, you know, wide receiver, the white deer. Not sure. It's like a gazelle, a deer. I forget his nickname that they would refer to him. But Jordy Nelson, to me, is the closest thing we've seen because he's got the stature and the size and the speed. But James Jones would team up with him in Green Bay, and we saw such great things. Now, he's a guy I was tempted to pick up. Might be one of those that you can get in these after these first 2 weeks and get, slide right into your starting lineup. Mohamed Sanu, obviously, with A.J. Green out, he stepped up, had a big game. And, you know, just a speedy little receiver with great hands. He's been making some great catches for the last couple of years. Mercedes Lewis, tight end for Jacksonville. He's got a rifle. He's got an arm. I'm not sure how long he'll keep the starting role, but, you know, they've got some good packages in line for the tight ends to do well. So, you know, he's someone who can continue to do well. Other big performances, Eric Decker re-emerging. Obviously, he was doing such great things with the Broncos and with Peyton Manning, and now he's with the Jets. So he's he caught a touchdown from... A touchdown from Geno Smith, so that was good to watch. Jonathan Stewart, he just controlled the ground game for Carolina against Detroit. He was playing like a man possessed as Williams was out of the lineup, so that was interesting to watch. You never know how it's going to work when they start splitting their carries, so that's the one thing that makes it tough. I mentioned EJ Manuel already, but those are the main players wanted to talk about and see if you could relate a little bit to some players of the past and then, again, some players you might be able to pick up on your team. You know, with the Giants, speak quickly about Eli Manning. Now, I know he's not going to have a great win-loss record, or in my opinion, but to have a guy who's, you know, their team is going to be down often, you know they're going to be slinging it. So it might not be a bad thing to have an Eli Manning on your team to swing it around because you know he's going to be coming up for some big yards. Jeremy Hill for Cincinnati, ooh, rookie, just tough, solid build, strong. He reminds me a bit of Jones-Drew. So that's some guy to watch. They split the carries up there in Cincinnati with Giovanni Bernard. So, yeah, someone still to keep in mind because he does have a bit of a nose for the end zone. So that's something to check out. Now, what I want to do now is take a quick look at games for this upcoming week. Now, I was probably about 50% last week with the spreads. This week, we'll get it teed up right away. Tampa Bay at Atlanta. Atlanta at home at night. Short week, but short week for Tampa Bay as well. In this game, I think Matt Ryan, Julio Jones, Roddy White, along with the crowd, they will be there in full effect. talking to a guy who lived in Atlanta for 7 years. So take the Falcons, give the 6.5. I do believe they're going to cover. Now, moving down, San Diego at Buffalo. Oh, boy. Chargers coming off that big victory. You got to expect a bit of a drop-off. They were so up to play Seattle. Now they've got to travel across country against a Buffalo team that's 2-0. Buffalo is favored by 2.5. Take Buffalo to win by a field goal. So they'll be the minus only 2.5. So there's your pick there. Dallas at St. Louis. I look for this for another game where Dallas is going to continue to get better. Although, you know, St. Louis does have a stout defense. I don't think they're going to be able to score enough. So I do look for Dallas to eke it out. Vegas looks at it being a close one as well, with only 1 point being the spread favorite to Dallas. Won't finger it much, but do take Dallas plus the point. Now, Washington at Philadelphia. Look, Philadelphia, they play hard against everybody, but when it's their division opponent, like the Reds, let me not say that, don't use that word. When it's their opponent, Washington, they play even harder. So expect the victory. Now, the one catch is the point spread. Philadelphia's only come up, come from behind wins. Spread is now 6.5, some places 7. I would take Washington plus 6.5. And look, not a game I'm really loving, just because Philadelphia is so explosive, can turn it on so quickly. But with Kirk Cousins, could be a bit of momentum right behind them. In Philadelphia, you know, that's tough on the road. If had to pick Washington, take the points. As much as I want to say Philadelphia, they've just their luck might run out a bit, and or at least they'll cut it even more closely. All right, Houston at the Giants. Look, the Giants, Houston showing some great signs. They have these J.J. Watt. He is very enthused with the new contract, and he's coming up big. You got to think spread 2.5, Houston favored. You got to think they're going to win by a field goal. I don't see anything as of now to show a renaissance of the New York Giants. So take Houston minus the 2.5. Now, Minnesota at New Orleans. Oh, two teams that were just crushed emotionally last week. Minnesota is still undergoing a bit of emotional heartache, losing one of their players, Adrian Peterson, for reasons off the field. So they're traveling down to New Orleans. The spread is big, though. The spread is big. It's 10. And I do look for Minnesota to rally around. Look, New Orleans hasn't been able to stop too many people. So I look for Castle to have some success. So in this, I take the points. Take Minnesota. Take plus 10. But it should be a great game. Drew Brees is going to be really excited to get on the winning side, especially down 0-2 on the season so far. Tennessee at Cincinnati. Can't go against Cincy at home, even with the spread. It's 6.5. Got to take Cincy minus 6.5. They're just looking too strong right now. Nothing has shown up as a weakness just yet. So until that happens, keep going with it. Baltimore at Cleveland. Here we are. Jeez, Baltimore looks so well in that Thursday night game. Looks so good against the Steelers. Now they're getting on the road, going to Cleveland. A team that just beat the Saints. Now, this is a tough one. Spread only 1.5. I just think the Baltimore Ravens are a better ball club. I think it's not too long a commute going from Baltimore to Cleveland. In addition, Baltimore's had the longer rest, being as they played Thursday previously. Take Baltimore minus the 1.5. All right, Green Bay at Detroit. Green Bay lost that first heartache game against Seattle in week one. Did rally back last week. I look for a very close game. Vegas says the game's only 2.5, with Detroit being the favorite at home. I think Carolina may have figured something out, and I think that Green Bay have studied the film extensively, how Carolina shut down Detroit. They'll be looking to do the same thing. Now, their defense is a bit suspect. Over-under in this game, 53. That's pretty high. Not sure if it'll get there. But I do look for it to be a bit of a scoring frenzy, at least in the 20s for each team. So in this team, you just after this past week, you can't believe in Detroit. So you got to take Green Bay plus 2.5 and see what goes with it. Now, this is, of course, for entertainment purposes only. Absolutely. Indianapolis at Jacksonville. Indy, a 7-point favorite against Jacksonville. In Jacksonville, they are so desperate to get on the winning side. If you had to pick it, you got to say, well, Indy's, they're not going to keep losing. they're going to win at some point, Andrew Luck and that team. And so you think this would be it. 7 points is a lot of points. But do take Indy, might give the 7, see what happens just for fun. If you had to, you don't, but if you had to, go ahead, take the Colts, give the points. Now, Oakland and New England, big spread at 14. Boy, oh boy, is Oakland going to get it, turn it around? David Carr, if they are, it won't be this week, not against New England. New England, after that week one loss to the Dolphins, did beat up on Minnesota in Minnesota. Now they've traveled back. Oakland, you know, had the tough loss. Now they've got to go cross country, go to New England. You got to, yeah, I'd stay away. That spread is too big, 2 touchdowns. You never know. As I said, James Jones and David Carr, they're establishing quite a relationship, so you never know if they're going to throw up some points late. If you had to, you'd say New England. You want to say New England, they're going to put it before 14. You don't. You don't have to. You walk away. You don't do anything with this, and that's exactly what I'm doing. No pick. San Fran at Arizona. Oh, it's going to be a tough game. Again, there is so much parity in the NFL, which is so fantastic to see so many teams. The talent is spread across 32 teams. You've got so many low spreads. Tough to pick, and so... Again, just for entertainment purposes, see what you could do, but it's not worth betting on it, to be honest with you. It's just enjoy the games. So it's San Francisco at Arizona. I look San Fran to rebound from that tough comeback defeat to the Bears and not take the pedal off. So that'd be interesting to see San Fran giving 2.5. Now, Denver came up big in my King of the Hill. King of the Hill still alive. Out of about 10 people, maybe 9 people, 4 remaining in our little King of the Hill already by week 3. So with those upsets, that's how it happened. So still alive, took them. They're going to Seattle. This is a rematch of the Super Bowl in Seattle. Everyone's going to be hyped up. Seattle is -5 against Denver. I just don't see a letup right now. I take Denver in the points. I think they're going to keep it close. They've got too many weapons. Seattle, you know, I raved about them in week 1, still do. But they're still hitting their stride. And Denver is just, they're there now. You got a perfectionist in Peyton Manning. He's got all the guys on the same page. So take Denver plus the 5 points. KC at Miami. Oh, Miami just had to go up to Buffalo, suffered a tough loss. They're a 4-point favorite against Kansas City. You don't go against Miami in September. That's just it in a nutshell. You don't go against them in September, given the 4 points. Go ahead, take the Dolphins, -4. Pittsburgh at Carolina. Jeez, a lot of games. Pittsburgh at Carolina. Might have to narrow this down. Go with the Big 5, the Fab 5 picks. Maybe that for next week. It's an evolving show. It's evolving. Pittsburgh at Carolina. Oh, look, Carolina -3. You just take that. That might be the gimme of the week. Pittsburgh just struggling as they had. Granted, they had a lot of rest, but Cam Newton has got the guys playing well. So take Carolina -3. Bears at Jets. Oh, this is going to be a great game. At home at night. Never like to go against the Jets. I think they might have some, you know, you can't, you know, Rex Ryan, you can't go against him in his defense. I think they're going to have some things worked out for Cutler. So in this case, I'd say take the Jets, give the 2.5, and just go with it. Enjoy that game because the Jets are due. The Jets are due after a tough loss like that where a faulty timeout prevented their victory after a touchdown was thrown. Now, just want to chat with you guys briefly about a little communication we had with one of the all-time greats of the NFL. Early on, we posted after the Baltimore-Pittsburgh game, I believe it was, how one of the players, Le'Veon Bell for the Steelers, was a bit reminiscent of one Clinton Portis. It was a post that we threw out there that, hey, solid Ravens win. Didn't Steelers running back Le'Veon Bell remind you of a slightly quicker, the real C. Portis, Clinton Portis? And lo and behold, the Triple FL podcast and Twitter feed did get a response from Mr. Portis. Clinton Portis wrote, "I like him," referring to Le'Veon Bell. "He's nice, but I suggest you go back and watch some Denver film." Oh, how good is that? And it was favored by Josh Johnson as well. Thanks for looking out, Josh. But thank you, Clinton Portis, for the shout out. You apps, one of the greats, on and off, up this week, been a bit busy, but will be posting and thanking Clinton Portis for the post. Do you remember Clinton Portis on the field? Fast, strong, great hands all around. I mean, there was one of those periods where he was best player in the league. You know, that rotates, you know, LaDainian Tomlinson was, but for, you know, for a period, he was the best player in the league, Clinton Portis, whether it was for a whole season or part of it. In terms of the fantasy football numbers, oh, you just wanted him on your team so badly. You know, he bounced around from Denver, then going on to Washington. But he is right. His Denver days, quick and fast and everything. And again, one of the all-time greats. Thanks so much for writing out to us. As I was starting to say, I want to get a picture of his off-field antics. Do you remember? I think it was mostly just when he was with Washington, the costumes he would get into. It was, I mean, that, you know what? Wasn't it a golden era when that was the biggest drama or off-field distraction? What was Clinton Portis going to be wearing? What costume? So I'll dig through the images and post a couple of those shots of once I get some time. And we'll be doing some traveling, but we'll come up with that because it's just deserving. And big thank you, UM guy. I had the chance to interview him back in the day. I was working at the Coral Gables Gazette, and he was with the University of Miami, Reggie Wayne and those guys. So did have a chance to ask him a couple questions way back in the day, old school. So appreciate that post out, Clinton Portis. And yeah, we'll definitely keep you in mind, and thanks so much for that. Now, just to round out the show, wanted to chat a bit about my squad, the Gators. Yep, UF alum, so in my league, I am the Gators. The old Ecker compound with some crew from Minnesota from my days there. Chi-Town, North Park, respect. Need a big week. 1-1, dropped last week with my team. And need a big week. So I'm staying with Russell Wilson. He's the way I'm going at quarterback. Got Eddie Lacy in, hoping that he's back from his concussion. Was able to pick up Darren Sproles. People, fingers crossed, this is that type of pickup after week one or two that didn't maybe get drafted that then just has a sensational year a la Anquan Boldin early 2000. So Darren Sproles is now my starting backfield. Emmanuel Sanders. Oh, for you fantasy owners who do have him, how close is he to getting into the end zone? Speaking of Sanders, doesn't he remind you of Ricky Sanders, the Smurfs, from the Washington teams back in the 80s? I'll do my old Ronald Reagan impersonation. Where is Ricky Sanders? That was during their visit to the White House. Oh, fantastic. But he's that just quick, lightning, quick, fast, good hand, speedy. Just need him to get into the end zone, Mr. Sanders. I know, you're doing your best. He's come up just a few yards shy on a few different occasions. I got Steve Smith. I drafted him. He's a man, and he plays like a man. So got him as a receiver. I dumped Witten. I don't know if some of you have done the same, but I dumped Witten from Dallas. Just wasn't coming up big, and I went with Owen Daniels. If you remember, when he was with Houston, he was, you know, top tight end target. Now he's with the Baltimore Ravens, and it seems like Flacco, he's going to him, so I'm going to him. Staying with the Eagles defense, staying with Dan Bailey for the Cowboys. He had a fantastic week last week for me. And in terms of the bench, Keenan Allen, geez, he did so well. But who do you bench? Do you bench Steve Smith going at Cleveland or Emmanuel Sanders? Granted, he's got a tough matchup at Seattle. But Sherman's not going to be matched up on him. They're going to have one of the other guys, which I know they're good as well, but in Seattle, that's my one thing. I'm thinking about playing Keenan Allen, but that Buffalo defense is good. Ugh. Little help there, people. If you can, send a shout out to me. Might post that now to the Twitter page. Help me out. Do I start Emmanuel Sanders at Seattle or Keenan Allen at Buffalo? People, these are the tough decisions that make a season. This could determine victory or a defeat. Also on the bench, I picked up Chris Ivory for the Jets. I know, he splits. I haven't handcuffed him with Chris Johnson. I know he splits carries with him, but he's been finding the end zone back-to-back weeks. And I don't know if you remember, but he was with New Orleans last year. And again, he was sharing carries with Ingram, a couple guys there. So he's getting, I think, a little more attention here with the Jets going against the Bears. So that'll be interesting to watch. So I'll post that thing right now. Keenan Allen at Buffalo or Emmanuel Sanders at Denver. Please give me a shot back out. The Triple FL. At the Triple FL, all one word on Twitter. Triple F on Facebook, Flashback Fantasy Football League. Send us a shout out. Like us on Facebook. Send us your comments, your posts, your tweets. Let us know what's going on. If you've got a dilemma, as I do now, send out your question. We'll get the hashtag TripleFL. We'll get the response out to you, and so that your fantasy football season could be the best one ever. I appreciate you taking the time to visit here with the TripleFL. My name is Tony Ciccone. Hope you have a great weekend. Lots of points. And you score the victory in your league and enjoy some greatness on the field. Take care, everyone. Shaking them all.